it's time to get our Thursday view from the north. Find what he's up to. Comcast Sportsnet, online, CSNNW.com. He's an Oregon Duck insider, talking Ducks on Channel 737. On Twitter, use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. We welcome in one happy Bulls fan, Mr. Fentress. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm not the problem here. No, just kidding. Last day of the NBA regular season, the Bulls win the 8 seed. They're going to face the 1. A tight game in the opener. Obviously, Boston was dealing with that gut-wrenching situation with Isaiah Thomas. But, man, on Tuesday, they just curb-stomped them. I mean, is it a matter of Boston being a 53-win top seed? Not far, not really great. What do you make of this 500 Chicago team taking 2 in Beantown?
I wonder if most of it has to do with Isaiah Thomas's sister passing away. I'm kind of flabbergasted myself. I didn't want the Bulls to make the playoffs. I wanted them to be in the lottery. I was mad when they signed Wade. I was mad when they signed Rondo. And even winning the series is not going to change that.
Right,
right. I know they're not going to contend, probably. But, no, it's pretty amazing. I mean, Wade's turned it up. If Wade's healthy in a playoff series, Wade could give someone trouble. He gave Toronto trouble last year with Miami. So it's just during the course of the season, obviously, he kind of always breaks down a little bit. But, you know, in a 7-game series, if he can get his legs under him, he's pretty good. And then Butler's legit. But I'm still amazed they won, too. One, okay, still one, that's one thing, but not two.
No, that was crazy. And, of course, being me, two things have mattered my whole life in the NBA. Knicks do well, and the Celtics be miserable. So you're
loving it no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Let's move to the Blazers. Man, what a disaster last night. I saw some folks on Twitter saying, you know, why are they even here? They should have tanked. Like it's legal to deliberately lose games. And it's not like they'd have wound up with a top 5 pick. But are they back where they were for most of the 2000s? We've referred to it as NBA purgatory. They're not contenders, and they're not getting a high lottery pick.
Yeah, they blew their shot at the high lottery pick last year. That was the year they should have been a top 5 pick. And they surprised everybody. And so when you do that, everyone expects you to take the next step. They didn't come close to doing that. But they did make a nice trade. I mean, they got a center. And
yep.
It looks like he's going to be pretty good. So next year when he's back and full offseason with the team, full training camp with the team, maybe they can make this work and actually become a legit 51 team next year. But I still think they need a trade for another star. If they're going to actually ever contend for a championship. By contending, I mean, you know, winning 55-plus and or getting to at least to the conference finals. So I still think a trade's on the horizon. I don't know who. I don't know when. I mean, Carmelo's available. would you put together a package for him and see if you can steal him from New York and then try and make a run at it with your big four?
Interesting.
I'm just throwing it out.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's see if that one reaches 33rd and 8th in Midtown. We're talking with Aaron Fentress from Comcast Sportsnet. Let's move to Oregon basketball. So Tyler Dorsey, Dylan Brooks. What?
The Titanic?
Yeah. Actually, you know, the Titanic had a passenger list. There were people there. There are no more Duck basketball players. You know, Jordan Bell was very intriguing to me. I thought he did the right thing because the NBA is about athletes and wings and guards. He does a lot well. What's your read about, A, his decision, and how he fits into the NBA?
I would have liked to have seen him come back and work on his offense and be a lottery pick, but I think ultimately his decision for him is probably the smarter decision. He's probably going to be a first-round pick, so he's going to get some guaranteed money. He's going to go to a good team late in the draft probably, and they're going to, you know, get a chance to work him in slowly and work on his offensive game there in the NBA while getting paid,
yeah.
Which is always nice. Plus, with Dorsey and Brooks gone, I mean, I'm not sure how good they're going to be. I know a lot of people are excited about the young kids coming in, and there's some transfers on the horizon. So he probably would have been pretty good, and Bell would have been a part of that. But he just went to the Final Four. The odds of you doing that again are not very high, even with Bell, I don't believe. So you go get paid, man. You know how I am. At the end of the day, why do it for free if you can get paid? So I think he made a good decision.
No, and what you said, I have not heard a lot of people bring up. I mean, historically, when you think of a guy being a first-round pick, it's to a bad team because he's really good. But like you said, if he goes 26, 27, he goes to a franchise that'll have flexibility and won't be looking to him for any kind of quick fix, which is really understated but really important.
Yeah, I think so. They're going to develop him. You know, they're going to put him in, when he plays, they're going to put him in positions to succeed, and then they're going to work with him, you know, in practice and during offseason, obviously, to work on his offensive game. And he's not going to go in a situation where if you're a lottery pick, you're expected to go in right away and be a starter and sort of help elevate the franchise. So they can work, you know, they can work out in the long run where you go somewhere where they're good and they're going to work with you, and then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years down the road, you take over as a starter on a team that probably is still pretty good if some of those stars remain, and you're not sitting in NBA purgatory somewhere stinking it up for the next 5 years like some people do when they go to places like Minnesota or Philadelphia, et cetera.
All right, let's get to football. Spring game is a week from Saturday. Yesterday.
Oh, God. Get this over with. I'm so over it.
That's hysterical. So you posted a story yesterday about the running backs. And, of course, you know, getting Freeman back is just enormous. But it seems like while the volume of guys isn't big, the quality. So what have Willie Taggart and the new coordinator, Mario Cristobal, said, you know, about what might look the same, but where they want to see some changes running the ball?
Yeah, I think you're saying they want to be more physical than in the past. I know the past regime was mad when people would call the offense finesse, but let's face it had some finesse elements. It's not like they weren't, you know, they were out there not being tough or not being physical. Of course they were. It's football. You have to be to a certain extent. But they did have a little bit of finesse in terms of how they were trying to get their running game going, get their offense going. I mean, that's to me a given. You can't really get around that. And I think some of those elements are obviously going to remain in this system, but Cristobal has put in some stuff he brought in from Alabama, according to Taggart, and according to Cristobal, it's more downhill stuff. Offensive linemen have talked about it. Running backs have talked about it. And Taggart has said that he wants to see Freeman run behind his pads better, meaning use your size, use your strength, use your pads to run people over. Don't always try and make a cut that's unnecessary to give people an angle to hit you or bring you down when you should be delivering the blow at 235. So they want to be powerful. They want to be physical. That's all well and good. I mean, it's not like Oregon didn't lead the conference in rushing like almost every year for the last 10 years and they're spread opposite offense, right?
Right.
The zone read and all that spread stuff has worked pretty well for them in terms of racking up yards. But you can add some elements to where you're being a little bit more physical. And I think they were moving towards doing more of that anyway with this offensive line. I think we saw some of that last year because it's such a big, strong, physical group anyway. But it looks like Cristobal can definitely try and take advantage of that. And in the back situation, some people are, you know, I posted some videos of the drills. There's only 3 running backs right now. Some people have commented on that. But don't forget, Taj Griffin's still out there, yep. Injured. He should be back, I would imagine, midseason next year. Injured in ACL, I think it was. Or maybe he's smart and he just sits out the year, waits for the following year. Because then you're looking at Benoit and Royce will be gone. So there'll be more carries available. Plus, they have 2 freshmen coming in. And Felix and Verdell. So they're going to have at least 5. And I think there's 1 kid that might play linebacker or running back. So they're going to have 5, maybe 6, maybe even 7 running backs come fall. So they'll be fine.
Talking Duck football with Aaron Fentress, who was tired of traveling to Eugene, so he convinced them to hold a practice in Portland. This
and then I didn't go.
Really? That's brilliant.
I had a prior engagement, man. I told Tagger to move it, but he wouldn't.
Nope. Couldn't he? Do you have enough room in your backyard? I mean, if they're going to cater to you.
Change the date, man. There's other time. Make it earlier.
I've been kind of intrigued by this kind of day-to-day plot, and you wrote about it, Coach Taggart and his staff. Talk about what they're doing each day to keep guys on their toes, and so you talked with him. What did he say about this and kind of the reasoning behind this kind of daily philosophy?
Yeah, they're getting daily grades, so they all can sort of see what their grades were, where they stand on the depth chart every day. Which I find pretty interesting. And Taggart's philosophy was, you know, we're out here yelling at them every day, and we have a depth chart, and we want them to know, where they stand, you know, and every little aspect and element of what they're doing. So if they're moving up and down a depth chart or whatever grade they get, they want to explain it to the guys so they know exactly what they were doing wrong, exactly what they're doing well, and what they need to improve on. They want them to watch film and study themselves. What you see on film is what, you know, they say what you see on film is what you are. And if you're not good enough on film, then it's up to you to improve on it. And that was one of the things that was sort of missing, maybe with Terry Wilson, that he wasn't as much of a student of the game as the other quarterbacks were, and he wasn't improving as rapidly as they were. So yeah, and you know, Arian Spring spoke about it. There's another player that talked about it too. I can't remember off the top. Oh, Travis Johnson, and they kind of liked it. They liked the feedback. I think most people like feedback in anything you're doing.
Right.
You want to know whoever's overseeing you and evaluating you. You want to know what they're thinking, so you're not living in a world of mystery and then surprised later. So yeah, I think it's interesting, and it's working well so far for them. But you know, we'll see if they keep doing it for the next couple years.
The secondary obviously took a punishing with the rest of the defense last year. Guys took their lumps. I mean, you cited Ugo Amadi and Arian Springs. There's kind of a new dynamic there with a cornerback coach and a safety coach as opposed to just John Neal. So those two guys, Springs and Amadi, are they kind of the anchors if they're going to improve? And what's the word on this kid from Rancho Cucamonga, Thomas Graham?
Well, there's a lot of talk about Thomas Graham and how well he's been playing. A lot of it's come from Taggart. Arian Spring spoke highly of him, and Ugo Amadi spoke highly of him. Arian said he's definitely better than he was as a freshman. Ugo says Thomas reminds him of himself when he came in hot, and everyone was touting him as the next best thing ever as a freshman. And Taggart has talked highly about him, called him a playmaker, said the guy is just a baller. So they're very high on him and what he can bring to the table. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you've got to get your veterans who have already taken their lumps to rise up. And it's not like Springs and Ugo don't have ability to be better. And as I said, both those guys had hype around them and then didn't deliver as youngsters. So even though we're hearing a lot about Graham, it doesn't mean he's going to be ready to be a starter in the Pac-12 as a true freshman. So Taggart has spoken highly about the improvement shown by Amadi and Springs. The Springs is a senior, Amadi is a junior. They've been in and out of the starting lineup. So I would expect, you know, this is when you start to take flight. You know, you've learned, you've grown. And a lot of people expect the freshmen to come in and be instant superstars, and it happens from time to time. But realistically, your juniors and seniors carry your team, and that's because they've gained the experience needed to be great. And so, you know, I think if Oregon's defense is going to take the next step, you want Springs and Amadi to take the next step in their maturity, and then someone like Graham to be the third corner or fourth corner to help. Obviously, you're going to be in a lot of nickel situations, so you're going to need that depth, but it's got to come from the veterans first.
Let's wrap with this, because sometimes I love the TV people in the NFL. They know how we operate. So the last few years, they've had this schedule release. It's on the NFL Network at 5 o'clock. And have you ever been the one guy who sees the schedule and is like, win, win, loss, win, loss, loss, and get nuts and go all the way through in April over something that you don't even know what the whole roster is going to be like?
My first year with CSN, 2013-14. So 2014, the schedule came out. And we had a segment on Talking Ball where we were talking about the Seahawks schedule.
Right.
And we were going through it. And we were supposed to grade it and talk about it. If it was tough. What's the record going to be? And I literally on TV went, it's April. We don't know if any of these teams are going to be any good, if who's going to be a surprise team. And I just kind of like totally stuffed it off. And then our executive TV producer later was like, dude, even if it's the dumbest thing ever, say something. And I'm like, I did say something. I said it's dumb. They're like, no. You have to at least give something, contribute something to the conversation. So does that answer your question?
Exactly.
I don't care. The only thing I care is that the Bears are going to be in Seattle, so maybe I can go see them. Other than that, it's like the schedule is the most overrated thing. People always talk about it now. And then come fourth week of the season, the schedule's turned upside down, and everyone who had a tough schedule, all of a sudden the schedule looks easier. Everyone had an easy schedule, the schedule looks tougher, because this is the NFL. It's about parity. And you never know who's going to rise and become a contender overnight. Who's going to fall apart? Like everyone last year, you got Carolina on your schedule. You're like, oh, no, we got Carolina. By week five, you're like, oh, yeah, we got Carolina. That's a win. We'll mark it down right now. So you never know how it's going to be.
No, it's a matter. The team stays the same. The inflection in your voice changes once the season starts.
Exactly.
It's awesome. And why they don't wait until two Thursdays from now when they at least have a draft under their belt, who the hell knows? That's the NFL. All right, man. Good stuff as always. I'm glad you're traveling down to Eugene to watch practice is coming to an end. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take care.
Take it easy.